Deception on the spiritual path. A beautiful atmosphere reigned within the walls of the school. Several windows were open, allowing a warm breeze to enter without invitation. It danced through the transparent curtains, hopped onto the leaves of indoor plants, and gently touched the hair of a young disciple who had already settled into one of the chairs at the far end of the spacious hall. Her name was Yasmina, a resonant and beautiful name, symbolic for most of the disciples who regularly practiced spiritual disciplines and sought the unquenchable light of knowledge. For these people, Yasmina was an unwavering support, akin to the value of life itself. And the stronger she became, the more powerful the energy that nourished the consciousness and bodies of each of them. The girl happily bore this name. It seemed to be created for her. Yasmina had light shoulder-length hair, blue eyes, a perennial blush adorning her cheeks, and a gentle disposition combined with a strong inner core. Even sitting here in the farthest row of the hall, wearing a modest beige dress, she inadvertently drew the attention of other disciples. And not because she possessed a beautiful appearance. The hearts of people were warmed by a special, warm aura that she radiated. While the other disciples settled into their seats, the master entered the hall. His steps were wide but silent amidst the intertwining of phrases whispered by those present. His tall, stately figure in a long chiton inspired calmness in those around him, while his wise and loving gaze cleansed the souls of all impurities. Soon, the enchanting music reached the ears of the disciples. It played softly and unobtrusively, yet from the first notes, it penetrated into the depths of consciousness. It was a melody created by the keeper. Cosmic sounds merged with one another and echoed throughout the space. They conveyed the energy of the universe and saturated the consciousness of the disciples. Even the keeper himself closed his eyes, spread his arms wide, and then clasped his palms together. In this position, the connection with divine powers was best established. The mysterious melody, like the wind, enveloped everything material, and awakened in the disciples the desire to follow it. Adopting the enlightened state of the keeper, they too joined the palms of their hands, closed their eyes, and entered a brief trance during which they distanced themselves from earthly distractions to grasp that which was in the heavens and far beyond its limits. Emerging from the trance state, the disciples felt new energies spreading pleasantly through their bodies. The sage stood before them, his eyes wide open. His face expressed complete tranquility.
"Hello, my dear ones."
He spoke with a resonant and pure voice that harmonized with the music of the spheres.
"I am delighted to see you again. I noticed that the music of the spheres was able to reach the doors where the most sacred things are kept in your souls. This is wonderful. Today, this magical melody will serve as the backdrop for our conversation, and I am sure it will help you engage in fruitful spiritual work. I eagerly await your questions."
And then, blending into the stream of wonderful sounds reproduced by the orchestra from another galaxy, the beautiful voice of Yasmina resounded. Tiny sparks of sunlight danced in her blue eyes, streaming in through the window.
"Dear Master,"
she addressed the keeper,
"you recommended that we listen to Uspensky in search of the miraculous. In the 11th chapter, it is said that if a disciple deceives their master, their presence in the group becomes useless, and they themselves become useless to the master. How should this be understood, and what does it mean?"
"It means, Yasmina, that the master has taken on the repair of broken biorobots,"
answered the keeper.
"And how does one repair a biorobot?"
The disciples involuntarily leaned forward, driven by genuine interest.
"If a person tells the truth,"
continued the keeper loudly, embracing each of the listeners with his gaze,
"then the master advises him on what to do. If a biobot tries to be sincere, then there is hope that the master can fix him. But if instead of being sincere, instead of truthfully disclosing all their internal processes, thoughts, vices, he will say something else, then how can he be fixed? There must be an alliance, a connection between the disciple and the master. The disciple sincerely shares his bad thoughts, emotions, etc., and the master gives recommendations on how to correct them. But if the disciple hides this, saying that everything is fine with them and all their thoughts are pure, then it is impossible to help them. After all, they're trying to buffer themselves, hide from the master, deceive or abuse trust, wanting to present themselves in a better light, and thus avoid help. So they do not want to be fixed, close up, deliberately hide their vices.
Great one. Does it mean that a person should not hesitate to speak about their shortcomings? Because as I understand it now, and it's completely obvious, if they hide them, then no one will know about them, including the master?
Asked the red-haired guy with expressive facial features, gazing admiringly at the keeper.
Of course, Renat,
exclaimed the keeper energetically.
The disciple must speak the truth, express all their thoughts, experience genuine emotions. At the same time, they must have a strong desire to rid themselves of moral deformity and to change as soon as possible. But if they deceive, lie, then it means they don't want to part with their vices and become an angel. In that case, changing them is unlikely. Therefore, honesty with the master is the most important thing. Without it, no changes will occur. And the person must be honest with themselves, recognize their flaws, weaknesses, their sins. If they face these, they understand what they need to work on. But if they don't notice them, planning self-improvement becomes difficult. Only an honest, open person in conversations with the master can set themselves up for internal changes and receive valuable advice from the master. So the driving power of improvement should be the person's intention to change. If it's strong, everything will surely work out.
Thank you, Master.
Sunlight still sparkled in Yasmina's blue eyes.
You reveal such obvious truths to us that one can't help but wonder how they could not have been realized earlier.
Thank you, Yasmina.
Despite the fact that the girl was sitting quite far away, the keeper clearly saw, beyond the sparkles, tears shimmering in her eyes. He was very sensitive to people and saw them with his heart.
I'm glad that we have time for discussing these invaluable truths, and that each time we rise to the unreachable heights of the most incredible emotions for ignorant people. Knowledge is the greatest happiness.
The other disciples, though not expressing words of gratitude aloud, radiated deep understanding. Honesty is necessary on the spiritual path. This silent concentration was a sign to the keeper that what was said not only impressed the disciples, but also became a reliable support for their further development and the creation of a deep connection with the master. The next question was asked by a woman in a loose tunic and flared jeans. Her thick hair was gathered in a rebellious bun, with strands escaping here and there. Everything about her screamed the need for freedom.
Master, I understand why it's useless for a dishonest disciple to be in the group, but why does it become useless for the master? Perhaps for the master, the most important thing is for his disciples to develop. And if someone isn't developing, then automatically they become useless. Is that right?
She contemplatively rubbed her rosy cheek with her palm.
Yes, Miroslava,
agreed the keeper.
What is the purpose of the master? It is to guide people under his care to develop spiritually and intellectually. And if a disciple is not striving for this, hiding and only pretending to grow, merely being listed in the school, then why do they need a master? After all, they don't want to become angelic, to change for the better. In that case, the master wastes his time on their education. This work is useless. If a person truly wants to change, sees all their flaws, honestly admits them, and repents, only then does the process of change begin, which the master helps them achieve. If they don't want anything, then even the master can't help them. Do you understand?
Everyone nodded, looking at the keeper with tears of repentance. Some traced unkind thoughts within themselves. Some opened up to the keeper for the first time, and some already understood what they needed to work on and intended to share with the master all their identifications to rid themselves of them. The warmth and love emanating from the keeper shattered all possible barriers and instilled in the disciples the rare gift of sincerity. In the air filled with cosmic sounds and fragrances that invariably accompanied spiritual conversations, the graceful hand of a young girl rose. On one of the fingers of her hand, there was a silver ring engraved with patterns. Similar elegant patterns adorned a small but noticeable pendant with the portrait of the keeper. The girl had a low velvet voice.
"Keeper, what if I think I see myself realistically, but in reality, it's not so? And it's not because I hide my thoughts, but because I simply make mistakes. In that case, is change possible?"
she asked, looking hopefully at the sage.
"Of course, Milena."
The sage comforted the disciple, maintaining eye contact, as he sensed a hint of mild anxiety in her measured voice.
"At first, a person may not be able to see themselves correctly, truthfully, because they're not used to doing so. They've posed their whole life, trying to present themselves in a favorable light, that's all. They haven't tried to look at themselves with clear eyes, so initially they may not fully explain what's happening to them. That's natural. But if they still try to do this, show sincerity, share all this with the master, and roughly determine the perspective of their development, then dialogue arises and changes become possible. The master guides the disciple, suggests ways of renewal, gives recommendations on how to see oneself more deeply. But if they constantly hide and only talk about their best qualities in order not to lose face, only notice their own righteousness and blame others, nothing will come of it. Only we ourselves can understand what we need to work on carefully. Everything is in our hands."
The keeper emphasized the last phrase and crossed his fingers. He wanted to depict the inner power hidden within each person. Sometimes, we don't notice the power within ourselves, but when insight comes, the dormant energy awakens, and we begin to direct it in the right direction, for our own good and for the good of the world around us. Milena gratefully looked at the master and also crossed her fingers, causing the ring with the mysterious engraving to sparkle and almost disappear. Unseen before, a fire of understanding ignited in the light brown eyes of the girl. Now they turned into two blazing stars. The next question was asked by a girl in an elegant bright dress with large sleeves. She had thick black hair and the dusky skin of a representative of the hot Spain.
"Master, what happens if a disciple judges too much? For example, I am such a person. Sometimes I am asked why I did something wrong, but I don't think I did anything wrong at all. Well, it's just a small sin."
The girl shrugged.
"So, I justify myself, easily forgive myself, and the scope of work becomes not serious for me. All attempts to make me better and the master's help turn out to be futile, useless efforts. Because I don't want to change the negative aspect of my personality, I hide it, right? Maybe I need to intensify my horror, try to realize the consequences of my behavior. If at the moment it's just something insignificant, then what will it turn into in the next life? So, I should push myself harder, right? Even if it seems that everything will be fine."
The girl's hurried speech, her fragile figure, and bright dress made her look like a tropical bird.
"Yes, Emilia,"
nodded the keeper.
"You need to push yourself harder. Repent. Because if a person says everything is fine, then it's a lie. Can everything be absolutely fine?"
"No, of course not."
Almost in unison replied the disciples, each of them remembering their problems and spiritual turmoil.
"That's right,"
continued the master, slightly prolonging this short exclamation.
"After all, we live on earth, not in paradise. which means everything cannot be perfect. A person tries to see it as a triviality of life, doesn't attach much importance to it. Therefore, they can only change in small things, in simple matters. They cannot immediately become an angel. Our development begins with something small. If a person approaches their shortcomings, tries to repent, honestly sees oneself, honestly admits something not attractive to the master, then changes begin. But if they hide something repulsive in themselves, try to accept it as something insignificant, distort the perception of the real situation, then the work will not progress. We need to see ourselves fully, from different angles, not try to hide anything, then changes will begin.
This phrase had already been repeated several times during the conversation, and now the disciples were whispering it to themselves like a mantra.
Thank you, Master. Now I understand that I need to learn to assess my actions rationally, not be afraid to discover some negative qualities in myself. I will become conscious, and then, I think, everything will change,
said Amelia hopefully, pushing back the long curls of hair behind her shoulders. Enchanting music from the spheres composed by the Keeper, in a highly spiritual state, spread throughout the space in invisible but powerful waves. The music continued to fill each of those present inside these walls. Inhaling pleasant scents and immersing themselves entirely in the beautiful melody, the disciples opened up even more to knowledge, just as children open up to everything new and unexplored. A solid-looking man, resembling an office worker, holding a small briefcase in his hands which served as a reliable haven for several scribbled notebooks, also decided to ask the Keeper his question.
Master, sometimes a person talks about it, but it's like an illusion, something to show off, because no changes occur. Does it mean that they don't take it seriously?
Yes, Serge. There should be a serious attitude towards this issue. You need to have a strong desire to change. If it exists, then yes, changes will come quickly. But if a person does something just to show off, throws dust in the eyes, then there can be no changes.
The sage understood that the disciples were very engaged in the conversation. Their eyes were burning. Their faces looked interested and alive, and their lips were constantly repeating the important words of wisdom, barely audible, along with him.
Master,
spoke a woman with dark hair, contrasting with her delicate blue eyes.
How can one see oneself more realistically, deeply? Do you need to detach somehow?
And this is a very good question, which, in fact, is why we raised today's topic.
The Keeper softly said, sending streams of goodness and light to the disciples.
You need to observe yourself more, especially when experiencing sharp corners. Because if everything is calm, we think there is nothing bad in us and we are saints. But in certain situations, when someone touches a sore spot, these sharp corners immediately manifest themselves. In such moments, you need to show special vigilance to really see what it is, create a holistic image of yourself, and identify the gaps that need to be worked on.
Master,
the freckled guy in a white t-shirt immediately joined the conversation.
How to work in the moment of a sharp corner? It's like you've just woken up. Yes, guilty. And it seems like the process of simultaneously observing oneself is happening. The desire to react automatically appears, to buffer. You kind of detach yourself, make an effort. Is this the real vision of oneself? Or am I still not seeing myself, just trying to change the reaction?
Den, this is just the beginning.
The master pronounced with a special intonation.
The beginning. If a person tries to sincerely repent, to see everything as it really is, this is the beginning of changes. If they start from this point, then they can continue working on themselves, changing. But if there isn't even a small first step, then how can a person change?
As soon as the Keeper uttered the cherished word change, the music unexpectedly also began to change its tempo. If before it was calm and enchanting, like some kind of fairy potion, Now it had energetic ringing notes in it, into which the clear voice of another disciple merged.
Master, do we need to ask whether a person does this consciously or unconsciously? Sometimes a person lies, saying, "I didn't do that," when in fact they did.
This question was asked by a tall girl in a loose beige blouse and wide trousers of the same color. She had a stylish short haircut and a thin gold bracelet on her right wrist. The master closed his eyes for a moment to feel more deeply within himself the vibrations generated by the music of the spheres, part of which was now the question of the disciple.
Louisa, if a person somehow mechanically reacted in the old way, that's still half the battle,
he said loudly, encompassing his entire audience with his gaze.
But if they deliberately built a line of defense, came up with how to justify themselves, that's very bad. It becomes a habit for them, and they will consciously resist development. Mechanical, unintentional self-justification is one thing. Planning one's actions, pondering how to defend oneself, that's quite another.
A new hand, appearing in the air, belonged to a middle-aged man. He was dressed very simply and held a notebook in his hands, in which beautiful, almost calligraphic handwriting recorded the knowledge imparted by today's conversation.
Master, am I right in understanding that throughout the day, we constantly switch from playing one role to playing another? Essentially, there should be a spiritual personality that will track all of this.
Kelvin, of course, the spiritual personality should engage and observe all of this, because the false personality doesn't know that anything needs to be observed at all. It can only observe what the neighbors are doing.
The keeper smiled and amused the disciples, who imagined a curious person watching the lives of others through binoculars.
The false personality doesn't want development. It has had excuses and defense instincts since childhood. Therefore, naturally, the spiritual personality, the spiritual part, should appear, which, when awakened, will see all this horror and shame. If it wakes up and sees, then a person begins to change. This observation opens one's eyes, shows them who they are, how they need to change. As soon as a negative thought or emotion arises in you, try to awaken this spiritual aspect of your personality in time to repent and not let the negativity progress.
New entries appeared in Kelvin's notebook. They were about the importance of being vigilant about oneself and not succumbing to any selfish motives, which, like venom, poisons a person's life. The conversation was coming to an end. The playful notes disappeared from the music. Now, it was a mindfulness-inducing melody which could barely be heard. The wind had long left the walls of the school, and the open windows shone with an orange sunset. It heralded a hot day. The last question was asked by a stately elderly lady with snow-white hair gathered in a tight braid.
Master.
She had a low chest voice, like the one sometimes used to read poems at poetry recitals.
Why does a spiritual personality engage in spiritual practices during prayer? Why is it harder for her to engage during sharp angles?
Viola, of course, when we pray, the spiritual part manifests itself. Otherwise, who will pray? Or will we pray for that unfortunate neighbor to be punished? With this, of course, the false personality copes quite well. But if it's a real prayer, containing some good, noble, pure intention, then, of course, the spiritual personality engages. But what are we praying for? We must say that now the spiritual part is engaged, but it must definitely wake up when other eyes, other parts arise. We prepare for this, tune into this, because often when a person prays and the spiritual part manifests itself, they completely forget that these negative parts exist. You need to wake up in time to see this. They think they are in an elevated state and everything is fine. But at the same time, they don't tune in correctly for further work. Therefore, it is necessary to tune in to further work to the future. When you experience anger, envy, or other negative emotions, wake up immediately. Only with such an attitude can you embark on the path of spiritual renewal, which I sincerely wish for you all.
The keeper's voice fell silent, but in the minds of the disciples it still resonated. The music, created by instruments known only to the keeper of knowledge, guests from the boundless universe, also gradually came to an end. The scents of myrtle, frankincense, and citrus mingled in the air. In the bright skies, fading into the disk of the immense weary sun, a bird flew by, appearing incredibly tiny from the ground. Leaving the spacious hall, the disciples thanked the master, sharing with him an endless flow of emotions that engulfed them after the conversation. And he responded to them with reciprocity and endless confidence that each of them would become the blacksmith of their own happiness. How many sincere smiles and shining eyes in which flashes of insight flickered, he had the privilege to see. Yasmina was the last to leave the school. In the light of the sunset, her slender, bright silhouette resembled an angel descending from the sky at such a late hour. Tomorrow morning, upon waking up, people would again utter her name, and she would definitely come to them. Key points. 1. Spiritual renewal is only possible when a person has the desire to achieve it. Without such a desire, attempts to embark on the path of development will be in vain. 2. The disciple must be honest with the master and openly discuss their shortcomings, not concealing negative thoughts. Only in this case can the master help them establish the right path of self-improvement and provide valuable recommendations. 3. In a person, there are both false and spiritual personalities. The false personality corresponds to a low level, where everything primitive and imposed is concentrated. The spiritual personality corresponds to a high level, the subtle world. It is necessary to develop the spiritual personality to attain enlightenment. 4. Even the slightest attempt to fully examine oneself and discover one's flaws will help initiate the process of transformation. Initially, it may be difficult for a person to overcome this barrier, but over time they will begin to assess each of their actions adequately, including from a critical point of view. 5. To better understand oneself, it is necessary to observe oneself in moments of tense situations that evoke negative emotions. Then one can understand which character traits need to be worked on.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.